The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt on the West Coast today in the IEL Waste, otherwise known as California. Good morning. There is an insurrection underway, a real one, in Kazakhstan. And dozens of protesters have been brutally murdered by the government security forces there. And the security forces admit it. This is Chesaine from the BBC less than an hour ago. Security forces in Kazakhstan say they have killed dozens of anti-government rioters in an operation to restore order in the main city of Almaty. They moved in after protesters tried to take control of police stations in the city. 12 members of the security forces have been killed, 353 in the unrest, sparked by a doubling in the cost of liquefied petroleum gas. Russia is sending in troops at the request of the Kazakh president. They will be deployed to help stabilize the country, which is a member of the, quote, Collective Security Treaty Organization, along with Russia, Belarus, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Armenia. Protests began on Sunday when the government lifted its price cap on LPG, and the president is accusing, or the senior leader, President Tokayev, who is actually, there's a strong man behind him whose name I can never remember, Nazarbayev. Who's been running the country since the collapse of the Soviet Union. That's a real insurrection. That's a real massacre. Now, today is the anniversary of January 6th. So I want to make clear, everyone, I've got new affiliates everywhere, so I've got to always refresh and remind people of things. I want to welcome 920 AM and 99.1 FM in Palm Springs, California. I want to welcome 96.9 in Oklahoma City, 1450 in Delaware, 96.9 in Oklahoma City. I can't keep counting them. We're over 450 affiliates now, and I appreciate every single one of you. Yesterday I was on 1550 in Fresno interviewing the supervisor up there, and I forgot to mention 1550. I'm so sorry, Fresno. That's the home of the Hugh Hewitt Show. We cover the valley from 1550. But I am committed to always welcoming new affiliates because we like to spread the word. Now, the people in Palm Springs and Oklahoma City and the Delaware suburbs of Philadelphia and Palm Springs. And we're also on now in Charleston, West Virginia. And I think that is, I can't remember what the number is. I got to look that up. I believe that is, well, I'll find it for you. Here's what I think about January 6th. And I said it at the time. It was an outrageous attack on the government. It was a riot. It was, for a moment, an insurrection. And there was a hard core of criminals with murder in their heart. It was a very dangerous moment for the speaker, for the vice president, for every member of Congress and every staffer in that building. Their lives were in peril because there were, there have been 75 people charged with assault with a deadly weapon. There are at least two handguns in the Capitol among the protesters. Most of the 725 people who have been charged with some kind of a violation, are a mob, and they acted like a mob and got caught up in mob mentality, which we've seen over and over in this country for a long, long time. I remember watching the Circuit City burn outside my studio at KCET in Los Angeles in the 1992 LA riots. And those folks didn't set fire to the Circuit City. Someone did, but they didn't. They just looted it. So I want everyone to understand there's a difference between immoral and illegal and criminal. Everything that is criminal is also illegal and also immoral, with the rare exception of Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail, for example. But almost always, like 99.9% of criminal acts are also illegal and immoral. Many illegal acts are not immoral. Right? It is illegal for me to use seven different words on the radio, and I'll be fined for it, but it's not criminal. It's an illegal violation. And it may not be immoral for me to use those words. I may be reading a script. I might be listening to a song. But it is definitely illegal under the control of the FCC. And there are things that are immoral that are neither illegal or nor criminal. And I'm a Christian, and so I can catalog those for you. But just go to the Ten Commandments and Jesus, and you'll get it right. What happened on January 6th was immoral, illegal, and in some cases, criminal. It was not, however, the sort of conspiracy that legacy media has latched onto. In August of this year, Reuters reported that the FBI has found scant evidence that the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol was the result of an organized plot to overturn the presidential election result, according to four current and former law enforcement officers. I tweeted this yesterday and noted that nothing much has changed, although in August, federal officials had arrested only 570 people, and they've now arrested more than 725. The pipe bomber of the RNC and the DNC has not yet been identified and arrested, and I don't know that they ever will be. We have lots of bombings in the country from the 1960s, and indeed the 1920 Wall Street bombing that's never been solved. I don't believe the Atlanta Park bombing has ever been solved. I'm not certain the anthrax terrorism has ever been solved. But that was terrorism, leaving a bomb where it might kill people. What happened at the Capitol, the 75 people who have been charged, up to the charging statistics are confusing. 150 people have been charged with a violent crime, but I think it might be 75 people who have been charged with two different violent crimes, assaulting a police officer, assault with a deadly weapon. There are different levels of crime there. There are a couple of counts of conspiracy around. A couple of knuckleheads, called each other oath keepers or Proud Boys. I can't remember what it was. But there is no vast right-wing conspiracy. And the media's attempt to portray that is actually agenda-driven politics. Now, I do not believe President Trump intended the riot. I asked him about it on this show, not the most recent interview, but one interview. He said, no, he didn't. And there is no evidence, and there is not yet any evidence that he intended it. He was negligent in his response, got caught up in watching TV and was indifferent to the pleas that many of us were putting out there, and some directly to him. Sean Hannity directly asked him, please, Mr. President, get involved. I didn't do that. I was just on Twitter saying, what in the world, stop this? Put out a call, tell these demonstrators who are, some of whom, were going to do what they could do anyway to incite a mob riot. They were, that's the hardcore, the hard criminal core that had murder in their hearts. And what the president was urging the vice president to do was illegal, but not criminal. If Mike Pence had refused to count the electoral votes, that would have been illegal, but not criminal. And so it's important for these distinctions to be made. I also want to make it clear. Joe Biden won the election. I knew that night because I've studied. I've written a book. All my books are back here, or most of them here. Here we are. My 1994 bestseller, If It's Not Close, They Can't Cheat. If you're watching on the Salem News Channel, I'm holding it up. All right, I keep all my books handy in case I have to quote myself. And President Biden won the election in November. And I knew it that night and confirmed it the next morning because I know that in order to turn over a state election, you have to be within 1,000 votes at the close of balloting. It was never even close. There's no evidence of widespread fraud. There was... And I'm a little frustrated with Ashley Parker, my colleague at the Washington Post this morning, for her story. I spoke to her for half an hour about why I asked candidates, in your opinion, did President Biden win a constitutional majority on Election Day? And if so, how strong is your opinion? My opinion is very strong that, yes, indeed, he did. But candidates stumble on that. They don't know what to say. They don't want to offend the hardcore President Trump supporters who think massive fraud occurred. Massive fraud did not occur, did not happen. And however, election abuse did happen. I go back to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court changing the rules left and right. I go back to all sorts of different things all over the country that upset people. And I believe in making it easy to vote and hard to cheat. And I love the election laws that are being passed in Georgia and other states. And this nonsense narrative from MSNBC and the Democrats and every other CNN that there's a threat to your voting rights. It's all absurd. It's stupid. So we look back at January 6th, compare it to what is happening to Kazakhstan right now, where there is an insurrection, by the way, a just insurrection, and the security forces are mowing down people. It is important for us to remember that America remains the last best hope of the world and has been since the Declaration of Independence. Lots more ahead today. I'll be back with the rundown here on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt on the West Coast. Good morning, waking up the country. As I always love to do, I didn't mention 98.3 Charleston, Huntington, West Virginia. So glad to add Delaware and West Virginia. So happy to be in the desert in Palm Springs, where I have so many friends and fans. After my long decade of broadcasting on public television in that market, doing the nightly news and public affairs for LA's then PBS affiliate, KCET. Let me do the rundown. The first story is the economic story, and it's brought to you by Birch Gold, great sponsor of our show. If you're buying gold, or if you're creating a gold IRA or 401, and you know you have to store that offsite, you can't put it in a shoebox in your house or in a safety deposit box and declare it an IRA, the IRS will not let you do that, and you'll get penalized. You have to do a gold or physical silver, physical gold, physical silver, physical platinum IRA, where you get the bars or the maple leaf or the eagles, and you have to have a third party do it for you. It's all explained in the Birch Gold free information kit. And I recommend between 5 and 10% in precious metals of your retirement income, because that's your hedge against hyperinflation, no remote possibility, but right now we're at inflation. And gold is at 1811 this morning, and dropped a little bit yesterday in the sell-off, and there was a panic yesterday. On the markets, a big panic. The Dow dropped 392 points. The NASDAQ went down 522 points. Even my vaunted Amazon dropped $63. It's down at 3,287. Boy, is that a buying opportunity. But I'll tell you this. I will tell you this. The interest rate announcement by the Fed matters to the gold people out there. It's why you want to go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 989898. And that's because the Fed says they're going to need to tame soaring inflation and faster rate rises are coming. That's the Financial Times headline. The Wall Street Journal headline is interest rate worries batter the stock market. Major U.S. stock indexes fell Wednesday as investors worry that the Federal Reserve might respond more aggressively to rising inflation than previously anticipated. Well, of course they're going to. They're economists. They know what happens. It's a tax on the poorest people. It's a nightmare for the economy. Shortages develop. We already have supply chain disruption and the Biden inflation is upon us and they want to spend more money. Luckily, Joe Manchin is standing in their way. Attorney General Merrick Garland gave a speech yesterday. So remember, Birch Gold, if you want to buy gold, HughGold.com. Text my name, Hugh, to 989898. Merrick Garland gave a speech yesterday and let's see. Let's play cut number two.
The Department of Justice will continue to do all it can to protect voting rights with the enforcement powers we have. It is essential that Congress act to give the department the powers we need to ensure that every eligible voter can cast a vote that counts.
Right there, that's the AG being political. Every eligible voter can vote and cast a vote that counts. It's just nonsense. I can't believe the Attorney General of the United States used the anniversary of 1-6 to go out there and push a partisan agenda. But it was a partisan speech. The bottom line of the speech, please stop yelling at me. We're finding everything we can. There's just no there. There's no big conspiracy. And he made some vague reference. We'll follow the investigation wherever it leads, however high it goes. Yeah, right. It's not going anywhere. Trump was not organizing an insurrection. They had, you know, people say, didn't you see what Peter Navarro said? Peter Navarro said they had a war room at the Willard trying to persuade Mike Pence not to count. That's not an insurrection. It's an interpretation of the Electoral College Act, and it was a wrong interpretation. It's screwball. And I believe Eastman's second memo said that. My friend John Eastman wrote two memos, one of which has been leaked by the January 6th committee, which isn't really a committee. It's a rump committee. Now, the saddest part about this is that when Nancy Pelosi hijacked due process of the minority, and she could have gotten away with appointing Liz Cheney, because Liz Cheney has the respect of a lot of Americans, but when she wouldn't let Kevin McCarthy name Jim Banks the chair, put Jim Jordan on, she destroyed the credibility of the committee, and nobody cares what the committee does except those people who have already hung Donald Trump in their mind for treason. So it's just a nonsense committee. I'll come back with more news. Stay tuned.
Of American. in.
Welcome back, America. The Rundown continues on this Thursday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show. The Wall Street Journal this morning has an editorial on the Electoral College Act and the need to rewrite it. Now, that's a 1886 statute, the Electoral Count Act, and it does need to be rewritten. There's really no ambiguity in it, but some people have tried to lever in ambiguity, and yesterday Leader McConnell indicated a willingness to entertain that, and I hope they follow through with it. Go and read that editorial. Horrible tragedy in Philly last night, or yesterday. A fire in a Philadelphia row house killed 13 people, including 7 children. Prayers are with those families. The airlines canceled more than 1,000 flights for the 11th straight day. The airlines are running into COVID shortages, work shortages. A lot of people using their leave and their sick time because they don't want to go into COVID airports. The airplanes are actually very safe to fly around in. Automakers supercharge their move into electric vehicles, according to the Wall Street Journal. The Chevy Silverado is going to come out in an electric version. And Japan's Sony Group plans to jump in the electric vehicle fray as well. News of battery-powered vehicles dominated the CES technology conference in Las Vegas. Senator John Cornyn tweeted out yesterday, imagine the I-95 horror in the snowstorm if there had been a lot of electric vehicles. Because gasoline can be turned on and off pretty easily, and you don't run down a charge, you know exactly where you are. Apparently, that just isn't the case with EVs. We will see. Long story in the Financial Times, very long story, about U.S. military battling asymmetric threat from Costco drones. Generalissimo and I have had this argument for years. I think drones, the little ones you buy off the shelf, for the terrorists' favorite new weapon. And indeed, we use large killer drones in the United States to seek out terrorists, and terrorists use balloons and little drones to try and kill our people. They're going to get better at it. We need new technologies. Military bases housing U.S. forces were attacked in Syria and Iraq on the second anniversary of the killing of Soleimani, the Iranian Qasem Soleimani, who was killed at the Baghdad airport 2 years ago. And the Iranian-backed Shiite militias of Iraq launched a couple of attacks. Didn't kill anyone, but we launched counterattacks. Every time Pope Francis makes a move towards being an Orthodox Catholic, the media falls out of love with him. That happened this week when he said having pets instead of children is selfish. Deciding not to have children and lavishing affection instead on pets is selfish, Pope Francis has said, in remarks which provoked anger and disbelief. Yeah, you know, every time he's Catholic, people get mad. Today we see a form of selfishness, the Pope said in his Sunday homily. We see that some people do not want to have a child. Sometimes they have one and that's it. But they have dogs and cats that take the place of children. This may make people laugh, but it's a reality. Couples who do not procreate deny themselves the joys of parenthood, a decision which diminishes us, takes away our humanity. The result is a civilization that grows old without humanity because we lose the richness of fatherhood and motherhood. Now, that really ticked off all the pet lovers. It shouldn't. That's been the Catholic position forever. I'm a Catholic Christian. I believe children are the greatest grace in life. Some people do not choose to have them. I understand that. But I also understand pets are pets. And I've got a grand dog. I love my grand dog. It's a pet. It's a dog. It isn't a baby. You leave dogs at home alone when they're one. You don't leave babies at home alone when they're one. Those dogs don't grow up. They're not sentient beings. They are not on the same plane of life as human beings. And that's what the Pope was trying to stress yesterday. It's sort of like after every disaster, I do look to see that the pets and the animals are taken care of. But first, I look to see if people are dead, because the moral value of a human being far outweighs that of a pet. So Pope Francis said that yesterday. We don't want to be cruel to animals. Of course not. That's a sin. The cruelty to humans is a very, very much graver sin. Much graver sin. Mortal sin. It may be a mortal sin to be cruel to animals. I don't know. I've never looked into that. I'm not a big animal person, but I am amazed that this was a controversial statement by the Pope. It's always controversial when he's Catholic, when he says things like abortion is a grave sin, or that same-sex attraction is not immoral, but same-sex intimacy is. You know, things that are very Catholic. And then the legacy media, who always thinks he's a communist, socialist, or South American liberation theology Jesuit, forget that he's actually doctrinaire in most things, you know, like 90% of stuff, and they get mad at him. Interesting story on Michael Gove. I think Michael Gove is the smartest politician in Britain. Boris Johnson, very smart, but I think Michael Gove is smarter. And he and his wife were separated. There was lots of speculation that he had a mistress. His wife came out and said, nope, he has a mistress. It's politics. That disappointed the tabs. Hong Kong faces higher food prices as the government tightens pandemic restrictions. China's economy is on the brink, people. You've just got to understand it's on the brink. Okay, let me play for you the most important thing that happened yesterday. Chicago school teachers went out on strike. The mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, said this. Cut 16.
Enough is enough. We are standing firm, and we are going to fight to get our kids back in in-person learning. Period. Full stop.
I hope it's period. Full stop. I don't believe her. She hasn't issued the PATCO threat that Ronald Reagan did. Do your job or lose your job. Come to work or don't ever come back to work. Lori Lightfoot only said we're going to fight for that. She did not threaten the teachers with discharge. Again, play it. Cut number 16.
Enough is enough. We are standing firm, and we are going to fight to get our kids back in in-person learning. Period. Full stop.
All right. I hope that's correct. Guy Benson, who was on Special Report with Brett Baer last night, expanded on the silver lining to the Chicago teacher union strike. Cut number 15.
Guy, to go, to have the president go to Chicago and stand by Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, some people are saying maybe that is a good thing for him to do.
Right, for him to say something as opposed to having other folks say, oh, the president's been clear he'd like to see schools open. Stand up, Mr. President, to these political allies of yours and tell them to get back into classrooms and stop harming children. Look, if he did that, that'd be good. I would give him one cheer, not two or three. Same with Mayor Lightfoot. I'm glad some Democrats are finally saying these things. The problem is these are the politicians who have coddled and indulged and enabled exactly these types of really abuses for the last year and a half, flying in the face of science. These teachers' unions have learned that they can get away with these things, and to belatedly try to catch up to public opinion and finally acknowledge the science here is better late than never, but still not particularly impressive, I would say. That's the issue that Democrats are facing. The one silver lining, Brett, in my view, and it's hard to find one because kids are hurting, as they have been for 2 years, is that some of the things that conservatives have been saying about teachers' unions and school choice have basically been amplified, playing out in a two-year-long infomercial. And this is extremely high profile, and maybe some parents and some leaders will wake up.
All right, now, Guy, for those new listeners in Palm Springs and in Charleston, West Virginia, and in Oklahoma City and in Delaware, Guy is a dear friend. He was my guest host for many years. He worked for Salem for a long time. He's still the senior political editor at townhall.com, which is a Salem property. And he now has his own radio show on a different network and the Fox News Channel. And we love Guy. I was on the special report panel with him last week. And I noticed that Guy is doing the millennial thing with the beard. Now, I'm not sure if Guy Benson can grow a beard. I can't. And so I want you all to, if you download the Salem News Channel app, you should be doing that because John Andrzejczyk is going to join me in hour number three, the famed five-for-fighting musician, 100-year Superman, who is a veterans advocate, a USO regular, a steady supporter of our troops, and an advocate for Afghans who helped us in the war, Afghan women, Afghan girls. And he's here to talk about the release of Blood on My Hands on a special video that they put together painstakingly. And so John's going to join me for two segments in hour number three today. He's also a friend of Guy Benson's. And off air, we're going to talk about this beardling. It's a beardling. And so I encourage all of you to ask Guy on Twitter, is the beardling real or is he just lazy over the holidays? Because I'm not sure it's going to be a successful beardling. It's not a beard, it's a beardling. And I'm concerned about it. He looks unkept. He looks staggering. You know, he came in off of the street from the shelter. I don't know why. He looks usually sharp, and he's lost weight, and he's obviously on a New Year resolution thing here, but I'm just a little bit worried about the beardling. Senator Rick Scott, who's in my second tier of presidential candidates, He'll be in my first year if we get the Senate back. He's leading the National Republican Senatorial Committee. He was on Fox Business with Stu Varney yesterday, summing up nicely what's going on the Democratic side. Cut number one.
First, he should say when the Republicans win, because we're going to take back the House and the Senate in November, and we're going to make sure that your vote is not diluted. Like, what should you do? One, Americans believe you should show your ID to vote. You do it to get on an airplane, open up a bank account, you ought to do it for a vote. If you do my mail-in ballot, your signature ought to match. Shocking. That's a hard one. Americans agree with that. Democrats don't. They don't want you have to show ID. Why? They don't want elections that are free and fair. The Democrats win elections that only Democrats can win. So he's got it backwards. If the Democrats win, they want to do everything they can to make sure Democrats always win elections. Republicans want to make sure we have free and fair elections.
Mr. Senator, I'm sure you saw this. We've been running this all morning. It's someone in Palm Beach, Florida, warning woke New Yorkers to leave. It was a flyer placed on cars with New York license plates. It said, if you're one of those woke people, leave Florida. You will be happier elsewhere, as will we. Do a lot of Floridians you're laughing. Do a lot of Floridians feel like that, Senator?
I think we love people coming into our state. We want to make sure that they understand we're the state that we have freedom, we have lower taxes, we have less regulation. We think it's your money. So come down and enjoy our freedoms, enjoy our way of life, enjoy your ability to keep your own money and build your own business.
Rick Scott is doing a heck of a job. National Republican Senatorial Committee, and I like that. You know, it's funny when he mentioned photo ID. 4 years ago, my son and I sold a house. He bought a house when he first got out of college, and I helped him, and we were partners in it. We sold it, and he bought a new house. And AndrewandTodd.com helped him with that. They are sponsors of the show, but this is not an ad for them. I'm just remarking. And since he had bought the house with an FHA loan originally when he moved in, there was a balance in the FHA escrow account of $4,000. It's been 4 years. And they won't return. They call us every 6 months to say, would you please file the paperwork? And every 6 months, it's a different person. Every 6 months, we tell them, we don't have the deed. We sold the house. Send us our money. And they will not send us our money because they don't have the deed to a house that we sold. We've sworn affidavits. We've sent in all the other stuff. The closing documents said they won't. So when I hear Democrats talk about photo ID and I think about the FHA sitting on $4,000 that belongs to me and my son, I do get a little aggravated because they won't give us the money, but they're worried about people voting. That's the government. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt, to my new affiliates in Delaware and in Oklahoma City and Palm Springs. Michael Oren was the ambassador to the United States from Israel for many years and the deputy minister in Israel for many years. He's a weekly guest to explain all things Israel to us. Good morning, Dr. Michael Oren. How are you?
I'm fine, Hugh. Good to be with you, as always.
I would like to know your opinion of the United Arab Emirates joining the Security Council. The Security Council is getting a makeover, as happens every 1 or 2 years, and UAE is going in, and your friend and mine, Youssef Al-Otaiba, I don't know if he's going to be up there occasionally when the Security Council meets, but they're an ally of the Americas, and they're in partnership now. What do you think of that?
I don't think it's going to have a big material impact. What's really important are the votes of the permanent members, those members that have the veto power. The other members can influence, but only in a marginal way. But, if you give me a choice between having the UAE there and not having the UAE there, I'd much rather have it there.
Yeah, I would like the Security Council to have serious people on it. And I hate having tyrannies on there. We're stuck with Russia and China, but that's the case. Now, Kazakhstan, what is your take on Kazakhstan? I don't know if you've ever been there. My brother-in-law used to go there a lot for oil business reasons. What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's a test case. I think it's a test case for Russia, for Putin. I think we should watch it very carefully because what transpires there may have an impact and even a dramatic impact on the Ukraine.
That is what I think. Would you explain their connectivity?
Well, Russia is intervening there purportedly at the request of the government. It's a pro-Russian government that's being challenged. But here it's Putin. He is extending his fist, his iron fist, around the borders of what used to be the Soviet Union. And Russia still claims that as its exclusive sphere of influence. That what's triggering the Ukraine issue is the expansion of NATO and the deployment of NATO forces in Ukraine and in other previously of formerly Soviet satellite countries.
All right. Third issue is from the Financial Times today. The rise of drones. Costco drones, they're called, presenting a new security threat. And I immediately thought not only of our troops stationed in Iraq, et cetera, but of Israel, our ally. How many times do drones operate against Israel? And how great of a concern is that to the IDF?
Well, with increasing regularity, we've shot down a good number of them. They haven't had any to get through, really. But yes, it's a major security threat for us. And we target drone-making factories, whether in Gaza or in Lebanon. The Lebanese ones, of course, operated by the Syrians and the Iranians. In Gaza also, it's Iranian technology that has reached Gaza. And yes, the major security threat, these drones can come in under the radar and they can carry a significant payload.
So expand on that, Michael Oren. If Iran can, they will launch fleets of these things. I mean, just if you saw the White House has fallen, London has fallen, the president gets taken out by a fleet of these things. Good CGI, but it's a fiction story. Or is it? Is that really a future threat?
Sure, it's a future threat. And again, they can hit us with you know, hundreds, maybe even thousands, potentially, with different capabilities, not exactly the capabilities of the drones have in that movie. I think they were throwing out, you know, thousands of darts. But yes, a serious threat. And, you know, we're always in this sort of cat and mouse game with our enemy neighbors. Okay, they develop rockets, we develop Iron Dome. They bring in cruise missiles. We join the United States and make a system known as David Sling, which can intercept a cruise missile, a very expensive system. Now they're going to come up with a different threat. And it's a wholly different because the drone is going to be too low and too slow for Iron Dome.
Okay, now, last question. I use the Times of Israel to get my public health guidance. I actually think Israel's so far ahead of the United States on messaging, and I want my fourth booster because Israel's rolling out a fourth booster, and I just think you guys have done it so much better than we have. But as I read the Times of Israel, I sense that there's an uptick in violence on the West Bank and in Gaza and that a major confrontation is brewing. Is my spidey sense correct?
I don't think so. Yes, we've had an uptick in some terrorist attacks. But I don't have a deep feeling that we're on the verge of some type of major outbreak. We had two missiles that were fired at Tel Aviv, and I think we heard them all throughout my neighborhood, off the shore of Tel Aviv, and Israel retaliated for that. But I haven't seen a follow-up to it. We haven't seen a major escalation that would lead to an outbreak of another conflict, such as we had last May. Not yet. Periodically,
right,
we do have upticks in terror.
I got a chance for one last question because we're running out of time. Dr. Michael Oren was a member of the Knesset, to my new affiliates. The Knesset had a couple of rowdy meetings. I think some fistfights might have occurred.
Just a couple, huh?
What, is that just normal business for the Knesset?
No, I think we're reaching some new lows. And I think that's true of democratic parliaments throughout the world. We're reaching new lows. And then we're forgetting our democratic civility. And there were things that were said in the Knesset this week that actually outraged the Knesset and outraged the Israeli public. And that, you know, we have a low bar for outrage.
Voters punish extreme rhetoric? They appear to ignore it in the United States.
They can. They certainly can.
Dr. Michael Oren on Twitter, Dr. Michael Oren, thank you. Always read whatever Michael Oren's byline has beneath it. And come right back, America Hour 2 of the Thursday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show ahead. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside the West Coast studio of the Hugh Hewitt Show, joined by former Missouri United States Senator Jim Talent. Good morning, Jim Talent. How are you?
I'm fine. You? How are you?
Good. I think the biggest in America is the teacher strike in Chicago. And I know a lot of people are going to obsess on 1-6 today, and good for them. I've done my monologue on that. I want to talk about public employee teachers union. If they do away with the filibuster, if Chuck Schumer somehow does it, would the Republicans have this deal to pass in our next majority, which could be 2025, statutes disestablishing teachers' unions?
I don't think they would. I think it would be seen as a local or state government issue. I think there'd be some constitutional issues with it as interfering with the sovereign mechanism, if you will, of the states. I do think what you could do is use the federal spending power, which you talked about, to provide very substantial disincentives for this kind of job action. It's going to be interesting to see you what happens in local and school board elections in the next year.
Oh, they're going to get
a federal remedy is going to need to be necessary because I think people are very angry and upset about this, and they should be.
Well, I think the approach is to use the spending power and say, if you accept money from us, you may not have a defined benefit plan. And if you accept money from us, you may not have a teachers union that strikes as the authority to strike. And, yeah, you know, like the driving age, we use the federal spending power to drive it down to 18. You can't go too far. The Obamacare decision proved you can't take something on which the schools have been relying for years and take it away in order to enforce it. There is a limit. But the spending clause, that was the first time there was a limit in the spending clause in, 100 years.
Yeah, well, when I'm debating constitutional law with Hugh Hewitt, I'm on very unequal ground. And I'm not the one in the best position. I do think when you've given the schools what the federal government's given them of the federal taxpayers' money, what is it, like $120 billion, $120,
yes, $30 in the last year, emergency
now
aid.
I'm talking myself into something like that. You're entitled to insist that they actually stay open.
Yes.
So this has been along with the fact that natural immunity's been ignored by public health authorities, is to me the most puzzling aspect, just as a citizen, okay, of this whole pandemic. Because we've actually been, debating the question of whether kids need to be in school. I do a fair amount of local radio, and this issue comes up, and I say, do kids need to be in school? And So instead we get these arguments, well, they're very resilient. Yeah, some of these kids have missed 2 years of school, or close to it now.
And they also need school for socialization, for fatherless families. Not having children in school makes it almost impossible for character develop. Almost impossible.
And I tell you, I think the voters are going to apply a remedy. I think we saw that. That was certainly part of the reason that Youngkin won in Virginia, because this affects the kids. It affects the families. It affects the economy. It affects everything. Look, if I thought they had a genuine fear, because if people have been pumped up with fear about this, it would be a different thing. But really what they ought to do in cities like Chicago is the mayor ought to give a reasoned, calm speech about why there is no reason, with the vaccinations and the other steps that have been taken, there is no reason to be afraid of this, and that under the circumstances, they have to go back and teach. And if they're not going to, then I like your suggestion about selectively discharging people who are the leaders, and I think they would get the message and they would come back at that point. But
you remember what the original definition of decimation was for a Roman legion?
Yes, one out of ten. Yeah,
1 out of 10 were killed. When a legion failed, they were decimated. And Marcus Crassus used it the most. And I'm not talking about violence against anyone, but if you decimate in the traditional sense a teachers' union, the message will come across.
Yes, and one point, it's procedural, but it's obviously affects substance. I want to pick up on with your comment. Remember when McConnell said almost a year ago, look, if you eliminate the filibuster, you have no idea what this place is going to be like.
Yep.
And that's what he was referring to. What he's saying is, look, you better think carefully before you do something like this. And obviously, Senator Schumer is not really picking up on that because he's evidently going to make a run. I don't think it's going to succeed. We've talked about this. I haven't believed in the beginning they had the votes to do this because I was in the Senate and I know how strong the Senate culture is against this kind of thing. But
what the second thing we'd do, we'd go after the environmental activist groups and disestablish third-party standing under CEQA, NEPA, the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, the Endangered Species Act.
Yes. In fact, that's the argument really for filibuster reform, which I was always interested in. But this is another area where actually I've where not only the Manchin's positions, but some of his reasoning, I've really respected. What he said is, look, it needs to be bipartisan, and it does. If they want to do bipartisan, if they want to do filibuster reform, which I would be for, not eliminating it, get four or five senators who are from both sides of the aisle, have them meet together and propose something that wouldn't take effect until after the next election. So nobody knows who's going to be in control at that point.
Rawls, you're doing John Rawls stuff there, Jim Talent. As I'm not surprised to hear, Jim Talent can do con law with the best of them. Senator Jim Talent, thank you, my friend. Don't go anywhere, America. Hour number three. John Andrzejczyk is coming up, talking about his brand new video for Blood on My Hands. We do not forget the people of Afghanistan. A lot of folks are focused on 1-6 today. Let's focus on the women and children in Afghanistan fading into black. I'll be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.